Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do I need to? Oh, good. Thank you. God is good. Let's go to John 3. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 out of the Message Bible. So you can follow along or read along. Doesn't really matter to me. But it reads, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And we have a responsibility to make sure we don't become so righteous that we start pointing accusing fingers at the world because they're acting like sinners. It doesn't matter. What's the difference between a liar and a homosexual? Nothing. They're both sinners. They're both sinners, and they're both engaged in sin. So we're not going to treat one differently than we do the other. They're both welcome. They both have seats in our congregation. Because what's going to change them? And they're not going to get the word of God from the world. The world is going to tell them that the word of God doesn't have any place for them. So why change? The world will tell them it's those people saying those things. Want you to go to that place. Okay. And we need to let them know the truth. And Jesus gave us the example. He came so that the world could be put right again. Amen. Mark 10:28, still talking about overcoming adversity. Why are we still talking about it? Because it's adversity still coming. And you still get affected by it. All right. But in Mark 10, out of the Message Bible, Jesus said, "Mark my words, no one who sacrifices house, brothers, sister, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life." So no matter how much you are going to be blessed, we need to understand that with the blessing, we're going to endure some persecutions, some trials, some tribulations many times over. But there's some things we have to know so that we can get through it. We need to know that Psalm 34, verse 19 says, "Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And the Voice translation says, "Hard times may well be the plight of the righteous. They may often seem overwhelmed, but the Eternal rescues the righteous from what oppresses them." See, folks, I told folks on Sunday, those of you here probably remember, that I saw a proverb that said there's none so blind as those who will not see. And I was looking up because I wanted to tell you which proverb it was. I found out it ain't in the Word. Okay. It's an English proverb, but it's not a biblical proverb. All right. But here's the thing. It's been traced back to 1546, and it was made based on Jeremiah 5:21, which says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and which have ears and hear not." That's what it's based on. But the full saying is, "There are none so blind as those who will not see. The most deluded people are those who choose to ignore what they already know." people who choose to ignore what they. Now, I know that's nobody in here. I'm telling you this so that you can share it with someone. Okay, because we never act like we we ignore what we already know. But that saying is defined by this. Understanding cannot be forced on someone who chooses to be ignorant. You cannot force someone to understand what you're saying if they just flat out don't want to understand for whatever reason. And you, what we want to need to understand is that their reasoning may be sound to them, but it's just soundly wrong, you know. But that's why we can't condemn. That's because sometimes folks don't know that they don't know. They think they know. But those of us who know, we have a responsibility to act like we know all of the time. And for whatever reason, when we face adversity, we forget what we know. And we do it by choice. Have you ever, and you know, don't laugh or anything and no one will know. Just think about it. But as you have you ever found yourself saying to someone, you're having a hissy fit about some stuff that's come up and you know, your brother or sister in Christ is trying to get you to calm down and you're like, but you don't understand. You don't know what's going on. This isn't the same. You've never gone through this before. Yeah, you're forgetting what you already know. And we do that because it's so personal. And the other reason is we think we're by ourselves. We think that we are the only one that's ever gone through or ever will go through this particular thing. And then the why me syndrome kicks in. And we start telling God everything we've done. And we put in that line, God, I thought I was your child. What do you mean you thought you were? You know you are. But we've allowed an adversity to come and cause us to become so blind that we will not see. And we need to understand that happens and do something about it. You know, I like movies. I like action movies. It has to be a lot of action, has to be funny, but it has to be dinosaurs. <I know. laughs> I still like the little claymation dinosaurs. Okay. but I was watching this movie last week, I think it was, called Small Soldiers, cute little movie. But in this movie, there's this one character, Archer, and he's trying to convince this little boy that this place where he came from, Gorgon, exists. And the little boy's trying to tell him, you know, that you couldn't see it. And he says, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And I thought about that this afternoon. And I said, you know, that's the understanding we need to get about God. We think we're out there by ourselves because we don't see him. Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's not there. I mean, look at Matthew 28. Oh, you're going to go out and punch up that movie, Small Soldiers. We're familiar with this account. Beginning with verse 18, I'm in the Amplified Bible. It says, Jesus approached and breaking the silence said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Then he says, And behold, I am with you. The Amplified Bible says, all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen, so be it. And I'm thinking, well, why couldn't Jesus just end it when he said, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you? And then he ascends into heaven. Why did he feel it necessary to say to them, listen, I'm going to be with you always? And I had never thought about that before today. I'd never thought about that. And then I started thinking about it. It's everything he says for a reason and for a purpose. So he must have realized that we were going to feel alone. And he wanted us to know that no matter what we go through, and more importantly, he wants us to know that while we're going about doing what he commanded us to do, we're going to feel like we're out there by ourselves. And that feeling would probably want to make us stop. And so he's saying, no, I'm with you every step of the way. And in the Amplified Bible, it uses the word perpetually. He said, I'm perpetually with you, uniformly, and on every occasion. And so I looked up the word perpetually. This was this. It means continuing or enduring forever. It's everlasting. It lasts an indefinitely long time. It continues without intermission, interruption, or ceaseless. So Jesus said, he's with us and nothing is going to interrupt him. He's not going to need to take a break for us. He's not like some folks, I'm meddling because I don't understand it. I don't need a vacation away from my wife. I don't need that. You know, Jesus doesn't need a vacation from us. You know, he doesn't. That's why it's a good thing that some of us aren't Jesus. And all the people that need to repent said. But Jesus said that he will always, forever, indefinitely, without intermission or interruption, without a break, ceaseless, he'll be with us. So all the, now think about it. All the authority that he has, all the power of rule that he has, is always with us. Always. And there isn't anything we can do about it. And we need to know that. We can't allow adversity to come and cause us to forget something that we already know. Because that should be our operating principle. Jesus is with me, period. So I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep doing what he told me to do. Because one of the reasons he told me to do it is because he was with me. And if he's with me, then I must be able to do it, because that means all that power that he has must be available. Because if I'm by myself, then all I have is whatever power I have of myself. But now I'm connected with Jesus, who has all power, all rule of authority. As Pastor Clinton says, I become a bad motor scooter. In that case. But we have to know it. And we have to see it, because Jesus, he's with us like that our entire lifespan here on earth. And I'll show you in a few minutes how that there is anything that we can do to cause him to ever leave. But in 2 Kings, this is a very familiar account, shared often, of Elisha and his servant. 2 Kings 6. This is in the New International Version. I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. Because the king of Israel is getting such accurate intel, his enemy thought there must be a spy in the midst. And his servant said, none of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. The king said, go find out where he is so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Verse 14. Then he, the king of Aram, sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and they surrounded the city. Say they surrounded the city. So that means you physically saw horses and chariots and soldiers wherever you looked. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. See, we often get in that position. You know, we don't see horses and soldiers and things. We hear doctor's reports. You know, we see bank statements. You know, we see IRS letters. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And we start wondering, oh no, what are we going to do? Don't be afraid. That's what Elisha said to a servant. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Now listen to what he said. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. His servant must have been, can I have some of that water that you're drinking? Okay. Because I'm looking. And I said, let's see. Me, that's one. You, that's two. And I'm looking out there, and I'm seeing 55, 78, 2,673. And you're telling me they're more with one, two, than with all of them. Elisha, you must be high. I mean, something is not right here. I heard of the new math, but this is ridiculous. And Elisha prayed. He said, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Well, the guy's eyes obviously were open, so he couldn't have been talking about physical sight because it was his eyes that got him in trouble. He looked and saw this place surrounded. But when you study that out, you find out that one of the words for eye is mental and spiritual faculties. So Elijah said, Lord, open his spiritual faculties so he may perceive, so he may discern. Because that's what see, so some of the definitions of see. The Lord, he's looking through his natural eyes and he's leaning to his own understanding. Open his spiritual eyes. Let him perceive. Let him discern what's really happening here. Elijah's prayer got answered. It says, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Just because you didn't see it didn't mean it wasn't there. Okay? And we need to understand that. Just because we don't see it and we think we are by ourselves, we need to shut down our physical senses and start operating in the spirit. And spiritually discern exactly what's happening. God's getting ready to move on my behalf. How do I know that? Because it's Psalm 34. He said it. He said, many evils confront the consistently righteous. I'm consistently righteous, and I see many evils out there, but he will deliver me from them all. That means not one is going to lay a glove on me. It says deliver out of them all, not most of them. Now understand something. Some of them are going to get through my defenses. No, he said he delivers you from them all. And that's the way we need to be operating. Because if we don't operate like that, we will not go into all the nations. We will not spread the gospel because we'll be afraid of what they might do to us. Because we think we're out there by ourselves. I don't know why. I was like that when I was younger. You know, you go to amusement park, you won't get on a ride unless someone comes with you. You know, you're definitely not going into the spook house. somebody has to be with you. Even this day, a few people get to the restaurant. One lady says, I'm not going to the restroom. Everybody gets up and goes. You know, nobody goes anywhere by themselves. We can get scripture. The Bible says two are better than one. It does say that because if one fall, the other can help him up. You know, but he didn't say you can use the other one for a crutch. You know, you still need to go out there and do the things that God told you to do. It doesn't matter if you are single. See, being single and being by yourself are two different things. And we need to understand that. And too many single people think they're by themselves. You're not. You're not. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Okay. How many of you are breathing right now? Okay. What are you breathing? How do you know? You don't see it. But everything you do is based on a premise that the air is there. How many of you get up in the morning, you have an oxygen tank next to your bed just in case? Okay. And you put it on and turn on the news and you make sure everything is okay. Then you set it down. Anybody here do that? No. But you don't see the air. You don't see the oxygen. You believe it's there. And you believe it's doing what it is supposed to do. So why are we putting more emphasis on oxygen than God, who made the air? And we believe that he made the air. So why are we always looking to him to prove that he's with us when we don't ask that of anything else? We just get up and start breathing. Matter of fact, we don't even think when we go to sleep that something's going to happen and all oxygen is going to shut off. We just lay down, go to sleep, already made our plans for the next day. But we don't take that same attitude, folks, with God. It's like we always put him to the test. Why can't we just take him at his word? Look what he said in Hebrews 13. I know you know this. This is in the Amplified Bible. He said, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Why? For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So God has said, there's anything in this world, out of this world, under this world, that'll cause me to let you out of my hand. And that should be enough for us to go and do the things he's told us to do. But for some reason, it's not. We're always looking for more. I just want to make sure. He said, make sure I gave you my word. And I couldn't think of anything greater to swear by, so I swore by myself. Okay. What else is there? He said, I'm God. If I said it, didn't I say I watch over my word to perform it? So if I said I will never leave you, then know that I don't care what happens, I'm never going to leave you. Period. So there will never be a time in your life where you will be by yourself. Never. Because God is with you. And he will not leave you. Verse 6 says, so take comfort and be encouraged and confident and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. When you think you're by yourself, I'm not by myself. The Lord is my helper. And you tell yourself, I will not be seized with alarm. I will not be fearful. I'm not dreading anything. I'm not going to be terrified. What can man do to me? I have God with me. The same God that said the weapon that can harm me has not even been formed. Now think about it. There's no weapon formed that can harm me. And even if there was, it would have to get through God. And it can't. So either way, I'm covered. So why not go wherever he sends me? Why not say whatever he tells me? If you believe it, why won't you say it? If you believe it, why won't you go? Open the business. Make the call. Go meet with the people. Why not? We've already, so I'm waiting for God to tell us to go. He already did. He already told us to go. And he said, and I'm going with you. So you're not going alone. In John 17, Jesus was praying, and in verse 20 he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he said, I'm even praying for the people. That's how confident Jesus is that we're going to do what he says. He prayed for the people that are going to get saved by our witnessing. Okay? He said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us. So Jesus is praying that all of us and everybody that gets saved because of us will be one in God. How can we be by ourselves? He can't even count how many folks are going to be in there. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them my name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So he said it a number of times. I'm in them. They're in us. How can you be alone when you have Jesus on the inside of you, living in God, on the inside of you? How can you be alone? He's always there. Plus, we have the Holy Ghost, who's also there. See, well, how can you say that? He guides us. How can he guide you if he's not there? So not only do we have Jesus, who never leaves us, we have the guide who never leaves us. What does the guide do? He shows you the steps you need to take. When? In every circumstance. So adversity comes. Okay, how do we handle this? And you just do what he says. It's really, you say, you make that sound so simple. It is. It's really that simple. It really is, folks. It doesn't get harder than that. You're not alone. The greater one, does the word say, greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world? And it doesn't say, you know, sometimes greater is he that's in thee. No, he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So again, that lets you know, not only are you not alone, but there isn't anybody in the world greater than who's in you. So why do we care what we have to go through? Why do we get so upset when adversity shows up? We should laugh at it. For my youngest son said, first time he got a shot, he's about 2. Doc said, this is going to hurt. And he looked, Doc said, I laugh in the face of pain. That's what he said. He didn't hear it from me. I don't know where he got it from. So the doctor stuck him. You like, ow! I said, I thought you were going to laugh. But that needs to be our attitude, folks. I have the greater one living on the inside of me, who's never going to leave me as long as I'm alive. And then after I'm no longer alive on this physical earth, he'll be with me forever in glory. So whether I'm alive or dead, I'm still never alone. And we have to understand that. Now I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Psalm 73. Because even though you may have done some silly stuff, doesn't mean God has said, I am not going to be seen with him. See, we say things like that, but God doesn't. Psalm 73, this is out of the Voice. It says, you see my heart overflowed with bitterness and cynicism. I felt as if someone stabbed me in the back, but I didn't know the truth. I have been acting like a stupid animal towards you. But look at this. You're still holding my right hand. And you have been all along. Even when I'm acting like a stupid animal towards God, he does not let go of my hand. He does not leave my side. The Holy Ghost keeps telling me, you know you don't mean that. Have you forgotten who you are? You need to repent now. Don't say that. Stop thinking that. Remember Jesus said he'd never leave you nor forsake you? Remember the word says that troubles are going to come, but God's going to deliver you out of them all. See, his job is to guide me into all truth. His job is to bring me into remembrance of what Jesus has said. My job is to listen and not be ignorant. My job is not to be so blind that I will not see, so deaf that I will not hear, because I've allowed myself to get so wrapped up in what I'm being told by my 5 physical senses that I let it override what God has said. God's the one that gave me these senses, and he didn't give them to me to contradict what he's telling us. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Adversity is going to come and say, you ain't coming this way. No, I'm not moving. But my father told me to go this path. And he told me that he would be with me wherever I go. So I don't care what you say, I'm going this path. And you have three choices. Lead, follow, get out of the way. Really, the choices that I really like are get in, get out, or get run over. Okay, I mean, that's because this is where God told me to go this direction, and that's where I'm going. Period. If you don't like it, as Pastor Sarah says, Tuffy the mouse on you. Okay. But there's going to be one big Cheshire cat that's going to be looking at you, licking at his chops, and that person's going to be me, because I'm going to keep going the way God said, because I am not in this by myself, and neither are you. You have the greater one living inside you. You have the one that said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Said he will be with you always. Always. Now think about it. When the three Hebrew boys were challenged with being thrown in the furnace, they didn't see the heavens open up. They didn't see God come down and say, don't worry about a thing, I'll take care of the fire. They didn't see any of that. Not with their natural eyes, but with their spirits, they knew who God was. They knew what God had said concerning them. And they told the king, throw us in the fire. Even if God doesn't, we still not going to serve your gods. And guess when their spiritual sight manifested? When they were in the midst of the furnace. Not before, because that wouldn't have taken faith. They went in based on a promise. And that's all God is asking us to do. Go in based on his promise. Just go in. What he said will manifest. Stop waiting for it to manifest beforehand, because you'll be waiting for a long time. And you'll find yourself before the judgment seat of Christ having to explain why you didn't move. And you can't say, I was waiting for a fleece. I hope it's fireproof. No, you're not going to say that. Do you understand, folks? You know, we have to get to the... There's too much that we have to do. And we have to know that God called us to do it, and that he's not asking us to do it by ourselves, that he's working with us. Oh, where is it? Oh, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Yeah, Mark 6, yeah. Somebody find that scripture and read it for me. Because we need to understand that. Didn't say God sent you out, then he stayed in the background and watched what you did. He said, in Mark 16,
he that believeth.
Wait a minute, here, take a mic.
Yeah. I'll just start at 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord was spoken unto them, he received up into heaven. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Right, and I was looking for the glare. And received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them.
With them.
And confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Think about what's so cool about that account. They saw the Lord ascend into heaven. And now he was seated where? Right hand of the Father. Yet, he's working with each one of them. Confirming the word with that they spoke with signs following. That you need to understand who's backing you up, folks. Okay. He's in heaven and with you and with every other believer all over this world right now. Right now. Confirming the word with signs following. Why? Because all power was given to him. All rule was given to him. So he has the right to send us out and then to stay with us. You are not alone. Tell that to your neighbor. And you will never be alone. But that song, No, Never Alone, never, you know it. I'm not going to, I know of it. Some of you know it. Okay. I'm done. Do you understand? So that means, so we're not blind as those that will not see. Our spiritual eyes are open wide. We act like we know. We don't act like we don't know. We act like we know. And we're sure about what we know. So we have no more excuses. Get out there and start doing what God told you to do. And watch all the changes that come in your life, in your community, in your church. See, because if we don't go out and do what God tells us to do, this church won't grow. We'll be in disobedience. We will not be an obedient church. You have to go, because if you can't trust God to go out and do what he told you individually, then what makes you think that you're going to be able to trust him when it comes to doing things here corporately? Either we are obedient and we believe God, or we don't. And I believe that we do. I think we just needed to just, you know, I wear glasses. Sometimes, for whatever reason, they get a little smudged, and I have to take them off and clean them so I can see clearly now. Well, sometimes spiritually we need to just correct our vision so we see things clearly. We see things exactly the way they are. There's no little smudge on a critical part where you can't really make out what it says. We see things clearly, and we have to act like it. God expects great things from us because he said, where much is given, much is required. Is there anyone in here that God has not given much? Well, then you know what's required. Amen? Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We thank you for the word that you shared with us this evening. We thank you, Lord, that it's just very simple, easy to understand principle. You're always with us, period. You'll never leave us. So we will never, ever be alone. Thank you, Lord, for that assurance. So we know we can go out and accomplish anything that you tell us to do, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.